This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Parshas Vayera is a loaded parsha. There are many interesting episodes and topics in Parshas Vayera. But the most prominent topic is the Akedah at the end of the parsha. And what I would like to do today is focus on a few aspects of the Akedah that maybe are unknown, and primarily to focus on the commentary of the Malbim. And we'll see, the Malbim was one of the Achronim. He was born in the year 1800, passed away in the year 1880, and he was orphaned at a very young age, and at the age of 20 already, he started writing his first sefer, the Arzos HaChaim. He was a Rav in many different kehilos, here for 5 years, there for 7 years, there for another 15 years, until finally he had enough of the Rabbanus. You know, he said, enough already. And he decided he was just going to sit and learn. And his wife had a store, a wine store, and she was going to support him because actually he had a big Yerusha. A big inheritance fell to him. So he figured, you know, he'll be able to sit and learn. And one time, his wife's partner in the business swindled her out of all her money. The Malbim got very upset, and he calls him up to the Torah, and he says, I want you to know you took away my livelihood. I'm not moichel you. That week, the man went to the next world. The Malbim was one of the gedolei olam. In fact, the briskers even say there are three achroinim that have the power of Rishon. You know, Rishon, Rashi, Rambam. Of course, the briskers say Reb Chaim Brisker, and the Vilna Gaon, and the Malbim. Okay. By the way, when the Malbim was Nifter and the Chevra Kadisha came in, they could not deal with the body because it emanated a powerful light, and they had to wait some time before they were Matapa with the body. Okay, so we're going to learn a few very important insights from the Malbim, and we begin with the beginning of the Akedah, Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Yeah.
He was almost going to be chief rabbi of New York, but he was very, very old.
Very good. He was offered the position. Okay. If you look in Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Aleph, it says, "Vayihi achar dvar ma'elev, v'lekim nisos Abraham, God tests Abraham. Vayomer elav Abraham, vayomer hineni." Abraham says, "Shem, I'm ready." Vayomer Hashem says the following, "Kach na es bincha, take your son, es yichidcha, your only son, asher ahavta, that you love, es Yitzchak." Take Yitzchak. Hashem says, bring him to Haran Moria and bring him up as a carbon olah. And Rashi immediately picks up on the fact that there are many phrases here that are superfluous. Just say, take Yitzchak. We all know Yitzchak's his son, his only one, the one that he loves. Why does Hashem, you know, stretch out the point? Your son, your only son, the one that you love, Yitzchak. Why all these specifications? Just say Yitzchak. Yitzchak alone, that sums it all up. So Rashi says that Hashem first said, take your son. So Abraham said, which one? I have two. I have Yitzchak, I have Yishmael. So Hashem said, your only one. So Abraham said, I have two only ones. This one, Yishmael, is the only one of Hagar, and Yitzchak's the only one of Sarah. So Hashem said, asher ahavta, that you love. Abraham said, I love both of them. So Hashem said, Yitzchak. And Rashi says, why did Hashem do it like that? He didn't want to shock him. If Hashem would come and say, go take Yitzchak, whoa, you know, that would have been like too startling for Abraham. And perhaps Abraham, Rashi says, would have, in a moment of almost shock, he would have gone ahead with the Nisayon without having thought it through. So Hashem wanted him to have done it with a clear mind. However, the Malbim says something very important. And that is, what was the purpose of the Akedah? The purpose of the Akedah was for Abraham to show himself, to show Hashem, to show the world, that despite what a person loves, the greatest love in the world is a love for the Ribbono Shel Olam. That love should be foremost in our heart. Now, what would have happened if when Abraham was about to shecht Yitzchak, he said, oh, I can't do this. Oh, what am I doing? Okay, let me block this out of my mind. You know, this is not my son. Okay, it still would have been a great challenge, but it would have minimized the Nisayon. Or what if Abraham would have said, okay, you know, I'll make believe I don't love him, or I'll make believe he's not such a great kid. That would have minimized the Nisayon. Hashem said, no, When you do the Akedah, I want you to focus on certain things. You know what I want you to focus on? Focus on the fact that he's your son. Don't block that out of your mind. If you're going to block that out of your mind, you sort of render pointless the whole Nisayon. I want, while you're shechting Yitzchak, think about the fact he's my son. Don't worry, not you. Right?
I hope.
Even though there's Akedah, that's Yitzchak, but you know, don't have to worry. So focus on the fact this is your son. And not only focus on the fact that you're a son, focus on the fact this is your only son. Because Yishmael, technically, even though he is Abraham's son, is not traced after Abraham. And we'll see why. Focus on the fact that you love him. Don't forget about the fact that you love him. And the more you think about how much you love him, the greater the gift that you're giving me. Because when you give a king a gift, the more you appreciate what you're giving up, the more you're giving. And don't forget about the fact that he's Yitzchak, that he's the Gadol Hadar, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a Tzaddik. So these are things that the Malbim says that Hashem wants Avraham to concentrate on. In other words, to make the Nisayon complete and perfect, don't forget about the fact that you're overcoming these things. Don't block these things out of your mind. You're overcome. Think about how much you love him, how great he is, how he's your only son. And then the Avas Hashem will come all the way even to conquer that. Interesting, the Archaim HaKadosh says that these three specifications, Es Bincha, Es Yechidcha, Asher Ahavta, correspond to the three ways in which we have to love Hashem. We say in Kriya Shema, B'yahavta Es Hashem Lekecha, you should love Hashem, B'chal Levavcha, with all your heart, B'chal Nafshecha, with all your soul, B'chal Me'aydecha, with all your possessions. And Hashem was saying, all these three things in you, Abraham, are expressed to your son. You love him, b'chal levavcha, b'chal nafshecha, b'chal me'odecha, and yet you're going to give it up for me. Okay, now something very interesting. Abraham, he heads off to Har HaMoriah, and he takes two attendants with him. Who does he take? He takes Eliezer and Yishmael. And he says to Eliezer and Yishmael, if you take a look in Pasuk Hey, Vayomer Avraham al Na'arav, Shavu Lachem Po. You guys stay here with the donkey. You guys stay here, stay back with the donkey. I have to go take care of some personal business.
But why they don't mention the names? They mention donkeys, they don't mention the names.
So Avraham said, stay here with the donkey. And the Gemara in Kedushin says something very interesting. Avraham wasn't just saying, stay back here with the donkey, because then he could have just said, stay back here. You know what Avraham was saying? You are like a donkey. You, Yishmael, you're like a donkey. Meaning what? And what? That's not the biggest compliment you could give to your child, right? But what he was saying, a halacha, and that is, the same way when it comes to a donkey, the lineage of the father is irrelevant. We don't care who the donkey's father is. There's no such thing as fatherhood when it comes to donkeys. It's the mother. The father, who knows who it could be, right? The same way Avraham was saying, there's no lineage, there's no yichus when it comes to chamar. You, Yishmael, have no lineage. In other words, you're not connected to me. Because the halacha is, when a man lives with a shivcha, right, a slave, if a Jewish man lives with a non-Jewish slave, the child is not related to him. Is not meyuchas acharav, is not connected to him. He's a guy, and he's not related. So therefore, you know what Avraham was saying to Yishmael? You, Yishmael, you know your mother is Hagar. I lived with Hagar. But I want you to know, just like a chamar, just like a donkey, has no relation to the father, there's no yichus to the father, we don't attribute the child to the father, so too, you, Yishmael, I'm teaching you a halacha, you are not related to me. That's the halacha. Am hadoy melechamar, right? Shavu lachem polem hachamar, you stay here with the donkey, meaning not just stay back with the donkey, but I'm teaching you a halacha, and that is, when a man lives with a shivcha, the child is like a donkey. Right? The child is not related. So the question is, that the Beis Halevi asks, that, okay, it's a very nice halacha, very interesting halacha, what does it got to do with the Akedah? Why is Abraham choosing to teach this halacha to Yishmael at this juncture? What does this have to do with anything?
Because I guess they start fighting.
So, you know,
Ishmael and... And
so Beis Halevi says,
start fighting. Who's gonna be the Yerusha? Who's gonna
Well, Yishmael did not know what Avraham was about to do. But listen to what the Beis Halevi said. Beis Halevi says that Avraham was about to slaughter his son. The challenge of that is much greater if Avraham thinks, this is my only child. But so long as Avraham thinks himself, okay, you know, it's not a good thing to shecht your child, but at least I have Yishmael, so that really minimizes the Nisayon. So you know what Avraham is doing? He wants to do this test, pass this test with flying colors, and give up everything. So you know what he says to himself? Avraham, you should know that this child is not related to you. He's not your son. He's not Meyuchas Acharav. So what does Avraham say? Yishmael, stay back with the donkey. In other words, in the eyes of Hashem, and according to Halacha, you're like a donkey. You're not related to me. And therefore, when I'm going to shecht Yitzchak, it will be as if I'm shechting my only child. This was all part of Avraham working on himself, that when he gives up Yitzchak, it's not just he's giving up a child, he's giving up his only child. Because there's no comparison between someone who gives up a child and someone who gives up their only child. Okay.
See that a little bit harder?
Last week we discussed that in the Marsha.
And also, you should call them, not you like a chama, you are a chama.
Why then fold the chama?
Okay.
We'll rewrite it.
Here's another thing we're going to think about. And that is, why would Avraham tell Yishmael and Eliezer, stay back? Why do you tell them to stay back? Why do you take them with him?
Isn't it that they didn't see the holiness of the mountain?
Okay. So why is that a reason not to take them? Says the Malbim. Something very interesting. The Malbim says that Avraham Avinu kept the entire Torah before it was given. How did Avraham Avinu keep the Torah before it was given? How did he know about all the mitzvos? So he says something very interesting. Avraham Avinu's neshama was so pure and polished and clear and uncloudy that his neshama was like a reflection of God above. So for most people, the neshama is clouded with the Yetzer Hara, with their own personal agenda, with taiva, with desire, with all kinds of muddiness and cloudiness. Avraham Avinu's neshama, what the Malbim calls something which is very interesting we could think about, he calls it Aspaklaria HaMe'ira, which really is a term only used by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was like a clear lens. And that means whatever God wanted was reflected on the neshama of Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu, he would wake up in the morning and he would say, I could do whatever Hashem wants. You know why? Because I know what Hashem wants. It's reflected on my neshama. So Avraham Avinu sat on the sukkah because he knew if Hashem wanted it, Avraham Avinu had it planted on his neshama. He ate matzah on Pesach. He wore tefillin. He wore talis. And there's one thing Avraham Avinu went around doing more than anything else, and that is he promulgated the idea that idolatry is bogus. It's false. It's sheker. It has no basis. And it doesn't make any sense. And especially what's the most illogical thing about idolatry is the fact that in those times, people would constantly sacrifice their children to their idols. And Avraham Avinu said, no, this is not something God wants. And they would say, how do you know, Avraham? And Avraham would say, I know. I know. He knew, logically, and he really knew. He really knew that's not something that God wanted. And then one day, Avraham Avinu gets a message, right? He gets, Hashem says, Avraham, I want you to take your son and slaughter him. And Avraham said, what? One second. I thought I always knew what you wanted. So Avraham said, let me, you know, check my neshama. Let me check the program. It wasn't there. So Avraham, you know, what's going on? I always know what God wants. And intuitively and logically and through this process, Avraham knew this is something God doesn't want. And yet God told me to do it. So this was something that Avraham was extremely ashamed of. Where his whole life, he's teaching and preaching that this specific act is something God detests and abhors and finds disgusting. And now he's forced to shecht his own son? Avraham Avinu says, look, I got to do it. God told me, but I don't want anybody to see. He was embarrassed. He doesn't want anyone to learn from it. And he's embarrassed how this went against his entire career. And therefore, Avraham tells Eliezer and Yishmael, you stay behind, I have some business to tend to. Okay, let's move on a little bit. I just want to throw out something very interesting. And that is, there's a Mishnah Masechta Avodah Zarah that Rabbi Akiva says.
But doesn't make sense. Therefore, you knew what's happening.
Avram didn't know. Avram, yeah, he knew he was supposed to shecht Yitzchak.
Eliezer and Ishmael knew what's going to happen. The Midrash says they knew what's going to happen.
Okay, we'll have to see. I just want to throw out one thing. There's a Mishnah Masechta Avodah Zarah. Mishnah says that Rabbi Kiva said, he knows, he has a tradition, that any mountain in Eretz Yisrael, any tall mountain, any tall hill, every tree was idolatry was served on that mountain and that hill. Rabbi Kiva says, if you look, it's in the number 5, Amar Rabbi Kiva, Kamakim sha'ata moitze har gavaya v'giva nesoa v'yitzranon, any mountain, any hill, any leafy tree, da sheyesham avoidas koychavim.
What does that mean?
Idols were served there. In the times of the Canaanim, Avodah Zarah was rampant, and every mountain in Israel, idols were served. So ask Tosfos, what? Avodah Kochavim, that's Avodah Zarah, it's called Avodah Kochavim.
Why is it called?
We'll have to leave that for later. That's what the Mishnah said.
Rabbi,
1 second, I'm going to interrupt you because we say we're going to leave time for questions and then we're going to take after, okay? If you don't mind, I apologize. The Mishnah says, every mountain idolatry was served out. So Tosfos asks a question. Tosfos asks, then how could we build the Beis HaMikdash? Because where was the Beis HaMikdash built? Hara Moriah. So, but Rabbi Kiva says, every mountain, idols were served on, and if idols were served on it, that renders it unfit. It's like a church. You can't make a shul.
But you can make a shul at the church.
If
the church goes bankrupt.
If you do it through a process. But on a mountain, no, that's only, this is different. Because if the mountain was served as idols, according to the opinion that Nevad becomes Avodah Zarah itself, you can't make a Beis HaMikdash there. Because the mountain itself becomes an Avodah Zarah. So that's Tosfos' question.
But you're allowed to make it Kodesh, you're allowed to make it holy.
Nah. Let's say, for instance, an animal that was served as an idol, nothing you could do. It's Nevad, it's Asar Bahana forever. So the question is, if...
There is a big yeshiva in New Jersey, I forgot the...
That's different, because the building itself was not served as Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah was served in it, not it was served.
Okay, if something is object, it's...
An object that is served, yeah. So that's Tosfos' question. Tosfos' answer is a very interesting answer, that it was made into the Beis HaMikdash through the Navi, through the Prophet. What does that mean? What does it mean it was made into the base of Megiddo through a Navi? What's that supposed to mean? So Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva. Chassam Sofer writes in the name of his Rebbe. Anyone know who the Chassam Sofer's Rebbe was? Rav Nosson Adler. And he says like this. The Medrash tells us that when Avraham Avinu was looking for the place that God wanted him to shecht Yitzchak, he looked at it and it wasn't there. You know why? Because there was no mountain there. It was a valley. It was an emek. And Avraham says to himself, what? This is the future place of the Beis HaMikdash? God doesn't rest in a valley, in a pit. God should rest on a mountain. Avraham daven, says the Medrash, and God turned it into a mountain. That's what the Medrash says, Medrash Tanchuma. That at first it was a pit, it was an emek, and Avraham said, what? It's not kavod of the Ribbono Shel for God to rest in an emek, so Avraham davened, and Hashem turned it into a mountain. Says Chassam Sofer, it comes out that it's true every mountain, according to Rabbi Kiva, was served as an idol. But if, let's say, somebody comes into a shul and starts worshiping it, they can't make it usher, because it belongs to us. You can't prohibit something that belongs to someone else. So since Avraham Avinu was the one who turned it into the mountain, and the first thing that was done on that mountain was the Akedah, so therefore, very nice, the Goyim came later and made Avodah Zarah out of it. They can't do anything. We already staked our claim. At the very inception of it being a mountain, it was already turned into a makom of worshipping Hashem. And therefore, you know what Tosfos means? That it was determined where the Beis HaMikdash would be based on a Navi? Because like this. You could only build the Beis HaMikdash on a mountain. But you could only use a mountain that was once a valley and turned into a mountain. Who would know that? Only a Navi. That's what it means. So actually, the Beis HaMikdash was built on Har HaMoriah because it was the only mountain that turned into a mountain. Okay, that's just a side point of interest. Let's come back to the Akedah for a moment. Okay? Look at number 10. An amazing Pirkei de Rav Elazar, an amazing Medrash. The Medrash tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says the following, Kivan shehigia hacherav al tzavaroi, once the sword touched the neck of Yitzchak, Parcha v'yatza neshmasa shel Yitzchak, Yitzchak passed away. Not like you learned in kindergarten, right? In kindergarten you learned, Avraham takes Yitzchak up to the Akedah, and he's about to shecht him. Avraham, don't do anything. Oh, okay, fine. Everything's wonderful. Says the Medrash, no, it's not wonderful. Yitzchak died. As the knife was about to hit him, he died. No, it didn't hit him yet.
He just passed out.
He passed away. However, so when did he come back to life? Kivon shehishmiya koilo mibein shnei akruvim. When the voice of God was heard emanating from between the two kruvim, v'yomar, and it said, al tishach yodcha lanar, don't touch the kid, chazra hanefesh l'gufay, his soul returned. V'hitiray, he unties the knots, v'amad araglav, he gets up, v'ra Yitzchak, and Yitzchak sees, hey, there is tchias ha-mesim. There is something called tchias ha-mesim in the Torah. Shekol ha-mesim asin le'ichos. Yeah, it could happen. Baruch ato Hashem
mechaye hamesim. It says this in the Chumash now.
It's a Medrash. So here's the question. The question is, why did Hashem have that happen that way? Hashem didn't want Avraham to kill Yitzhak. That wasn't his intention. His intention was, bring him up. Once you brought him up, you pass the test. So why would Hashem have it that Avram got to the point where Yitzchak, for whatever, got so scared that he actually died? Says the Malbim, an amazing thing. By the way, Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says something else that maybe we'll get to, maybe we won't. Says the Malbim, an incredible thing. Does anyone remember when Avraham heard the report that he was going to have children? What did Avraham say?
Can't be.
Can't be. Why not?
Too old.
I'm too old. And Avraham said, I know it can't be. Why? He looked in the stars, and he saw in his astrological stars, we spoke about this on the night of Hoshana Rabbah, he saw, right, there's a concept that God guides the world through the mazalos. He saw Avraham will not have children. So Avraham said to God, what do you mean I'm going to have? I see, it's not possible. So Hashem said to Avraham, don't worry, I'll make a miracle. It's true, the astrological signs seem to say you won't, but I will make a miracle that you will. Says the Malbim, that means that naturally, the natural makeup of the universe is that Yitzchak should not exist, that Avraham should not have a child, that the stars would like to see the destruction of Yitzchak. That means all forces of nature would like to see him be obliterated. But Hashem is making a miracle. That means every second, while the forces of nature are trying to destroy Avraham's descendants, God is making miracle after miracle to allow Yitzchak to exist. However, says the Malbim, if God is making a miracle, that means God will only make the miracle so long as Yitzchak and his descendants deserve it. As long as they deserve the miracle. If God has to make a miracle, God will only do it if they deserve the miracle. But the moment they stop deserving the miracle, God will say, look, I can't keep on changing nature, and the force of nature will come crashing down, and that will be the end of the Jewish people.
What about yourself?
Well,
what about the son?
Everyone, all the descendants of Abraham. Okay, so what does Hashem do? Hashem says, yeah, this is not this plan of making a miracle to allow Yitzchak to exist, despite the force of nature, we got to come up with a better plan. Hashem says, I will let the forces of nature have what they want. What do they want? They want to see Yitzchak not here. He's not here anymore. Now Yitzchak is returned. He has a new neshama. This is a different Yitzchak. When Yitzchak got up again, that wasn't the same Yitzchak. That was a new creation. That was a new creation of the Jewish people who is not controlled whatsoever by the forces of nature. The laws of nature were not out to get this new Yitzchak. They're out to get the old Yitzchak. Hashem had Yitzchak pass away to allow the first, fine, you know, I was able to do the miracle long enough, but I need a better system. The better system is new Yitzhak number two. Okay, new and improved. That's how the Malbim learns why they're okay, yeah.
How come he didn't get a new name? Like Yaakov Avinu, he got named Israel. How come Yitzhak, after passing such a tremendous metamorphosis, he wasn't even granted a new
I don't know.
Because it was a new creature, so it was a totally new thing.
I don't know, but listen to what the Malbim says. If you notice, if you look in the Akedah, before Yitzchak is shechted, what is God called? Vayachad v'ha Elohim. Elohim. Vayelcha l'amakam v'shom Eloi, ha Elohim. Then it continues. They said, "Vayomer Avram Elohim Yir Eloi Haseh." God's name appears as Elohim. After Avram takes the sword against Yitzchak and Yitzchak returns, Yod Kei Vav Kei Hashem. Why? Because Elohim represents nature. Until the Akedah was Hashem saying, the laws of nature want to see Yitzchak not exist. That's what's going to happen. But as soon as that happens, Hashem, Vayomer Hashem. Now Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei above the laws of nature. Now Hashem says, I've created a Klal Yisrael that exists above the laws of nature. So until the beginning of the Akedah, Hashem's name is only Elohim. After Yitzchak is taken, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now the Malbim says something incredible. Does anybody remember? It says that in Parshas Toldos, the end of Yitzchak's life, it says, Vatechena inav mira'os. His eyes were dimmed. Why were his eyes dimmed? Right at the end of his life, he had a hard time seeing. Why? So Rashi says, because at the Akedah, the Malachim were crying. The angels were crying. And the tears of the Malachim went into Yitzchak's eyes, and they dimmed his eyes. So the Malbim wants to know, why were the Malachim crying at the Akedah? What were they crying about? What were they crying? Why were they crying?
They didn't expect them to get such a...
What are they crying? This is what Hashem wants. What, they were sad? They were warm and mushy malachim. They were nice, fuzzy malachim. Yeah, what were they crying?
Hashem wanted that.
Wanted what?
So why did you change his mind?
No, I want to know why were the malachim crying?
Because Hashem didn't want it, and he was misreading it.
So why were they crying?
Hashem wanted it.
Malachim are compassionate?
No.
Malachim have feelings?
No.
So why are they crying?
Because he's doing the wrong thing.
Well, every time someone does the wrong thing, Malachim cry?
He's not everybody.
Every time Avram does an Aveira, Malachim cry?
It's not Aveira. It's much stronger than Aveira.
What?
This is much stronger than Aveira.
Another question. Take a look in the Pesukim. Look in Pasuk Yud Beis.
It's not Aveira.
David, you want to open the windows here? Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayomer al tishlach yodcha lanar. The Malach says, don't send your hand toward the child. Don't do anything to him. Ki ata yadati, because now I know. Ki yirei elekim ata, that you're God-fearing. V'loi chasachta es bincha es yichidcha mimeni. And you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Right? Mimeni, from me. What's the Malach talking about? Now I know you're God-fearing. Why? Because you have not withheld your son from me. What do you mean, from me? Avram wasn't bringing Yitzchak to the Malach. What does the Malach mean? Now I know you're God-feeling because why? Because you have not withheld your son from me. What do you mean, from me? It should say, from Hashem, Me Hashem. What do you mean, you have not withheld your son from me?
Hashem is talking.
No, the Malach is talking. The Malach is talking. What does it mean? Now I know you're God-feeling because you have not withheld your son from me. What, Avram was bringing the child to the Malach? Wasn't being the child to Malach. Says the Malbim something incredible. Every time a person does a mitzvah, you create a Malach. Right? In fact, the Marsha says, "Bedarach sha'adam rotza leilech, molichen oso." Anybody ever hear that Gemara? It's a Gemara Matas. In the way that you want to go, molichen oso. They bring you. Who's the they? It should say, oh. Says the Marsha, Every time you think something good, every time you say something good, every time you do something good, you create a malach. And these malachim escort you in that way. You do a mitzvah, you create a malach. The malachim help you continue to do more mitzvahs. You do an avera, you create a malach. These malachim bring you in the other way. So that means like this. Abraham got up early in the morning, created a malach. He took the wood, created a malach. He saddled the donkey, created a malach. He walked, created a malach. Every footstep, malach, 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 malach. Hundreds of thousands of malachim are created on the way to do the akedah. Now, the only way to create a malach is if you're doing a mitzvah. If what you're doing is not a mitzvah, if it's an avera, you're not going to create a good malach. So, like this. All of these malachim knew that at the end of the day, God did not want Abraham to shecht Yitzchak. The malachim knew that. So which means that so long as Abraham is not going to shecht Yitzchak, all of these actions of Abraham are actions of preparation leading up to a mitzvah. So when Abraham saddled the donkey, it was a mitzvah. As long as Abraham doesn't eventually kill Yitzchak, if he's going to kill Yitzchak, then it turns out that everything that Abraham did was an avera, and retroactively, all of these acts of preparation were nothing. So the malach was created when he woke up early in the morning. Another malach was created when he saddled the donkey, when he got the wood, when he got the knife. Until Avraham was about to shecht Yitzchak. And then the malachim are wondering, if he's going to shecht Yitzchak, we will self-destruct. We will no longer exist. Why? Because that means all of these acts were not an act of doing the will of God. They were an act leading up to murder, because we know God doesn't want him to kill him. We know God only wants Abraham to bring him up. So if Abraham goes through with the act, then retroactively all of his acts of preparation will have been Avonot.
That's why they're crying.
Because they're about to be destroyed. The Malachim. They weren't crying for Yitzchak. They're crying for themselves.
Aye, they get emotional.
But still, why would they get emotional?
So what? Yeah.
They're like robots. They're not.
They'll come back.
They only one function. They were created. That's it.
Like Kayan and Hevel, right? You call the Me'achicha, show up in Malai. The offsprings, the people would have been born from Yitzchak. They were crying also.
Well, there's some disturbance over there. What did I say again?
Just like by Cain and Hevel.
Yeah.
The Malachim were crying. They called the Me'achicha. The offspring that would have been born through Yitzchak were crying. So maybe that those were crying. The people would have been born from Yitzchak were crying. The Malachim also. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know exactly what it means. Malachim are crying, but they were not crying for Yitzchak. They were crying because they themselves are about. Now listen to how the Vilna Gaon reads the pasuk. Ready for this? He says, Ata yadati, now I know, ki rele kim ata, that you're God-fearing. How do I know? What do you mean? What does he mean, mimeni? Because you didn't withhold him from me? Nobody asked you to bring him to me. No, you know how the malach, we know what the malach says? The malach says, you know how I know how God-fearing you are? Because I look at myself, and I am the strongest, biggest, smartest, best malach ever created in the history of the universe. So ata yodati, now I know, ki yirei elokim ata, that you're God-fearing. Why? Mimeni, by looking at myself, the Malach says. When I see how big I am, how great I am, and how strong I am, now I know no one had ever done a mitzvah like you did. That's how the Vilna Gaon reads the pasuk. Not that you didn't withhold him from me. The fact that you didn't withhold him shows me how great you are. How do I know that? Mimeni, from me, by looking at myself. That's what the Malach meant. By looking, mimeni, I know it from me. Okay, now we're going to turn to...
That's really related. Why if somebody does... If somebody... Yeah, Avram created a malach. He created a malach, right?
Yeah.
Why the fact that...
I'm going to take your question after, okay? Okay. Let's conclude with how the Malbim understands the Ma'is of the Akedah. Again... And let's review how we learned the Akedah in kindergarten, right? This is how we learned it in kindergarten. Avraham Avinu, nice old guy. Hashem tells him, shecht your son. Avraham is about to shecht him. And Hashem said, the Malach comes and says, don't do it. Avraham says, fine, no problem. And then Hashem says, oh, Avraham, I love you. You're a great guy. You know, you should be blessed, right? And after that, Avraham finds a ram. And Avraham says, oh, great. I might as well bring a ram if I can't bring Yitzchak. No, that's not what happened. Okay? What happened? I have a question for you. The Malach comes and gives Avraham a compliment. Look in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Avraham, the Malach says, Vayomer, al tishlach yodcha lanar v'altaslim uma. Ki ato yodati kirei lekim ato v'loi chasachta es bincha es yichidcha mimeni. Avraham, you're a great guy because you did not withhold Yitzchak. Fine. Then now take a look in Pasuk Tesvav. By the way, just in the meantime, Avraham finds a ram. And Avraham, the Pasuk says, look in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayis Avraham Seinov. After the Malach makes Avraham feel good by saying, you're a really great guy, Avraham sees a ram caught up in the bushes, and Avraham takes the ram and he brings it up as an oila, tachas benoi. How did we learn in kindergarten? What does it mean, tachas benoi? Instead of, right? In kindergarten, that's what the Mora said, instead of the sun. Fine. And then what happened? Vayikra Avraham Shem Magam Hashem Yirat. Fine. Now the Malach calls out again. Vayikra Malach Hashem al Avraham Sheinis Min Hashemayim. The Malach calls out again from heaven. And he says, Avraham, be nishbati no Hashem, I swear to you. Ki yana asher asisa sadavra azah, v'loi chasach des bincha as yichidecha. Avraham, you're a great guy because you did not withhold Yitzchak. So if I was Avraham, you know what I would have told the Malach? You just told me that 2 minutes ago. You just gave me that compliment. You just said you're great because v'loi chasach des bincha as yichidecha. What's the Malach adding in this? The next speech is the exact same thing again. Avraham, you're great because you didn't withhold Yitzchak. Okay, yeah. No. What are you adding? You just said that the first time. And what's going on? And another problem I'll ask you. Could you, somebody please tell me, if Hashem comes to you, Gabi, and he tells you to do something, right? So fine, you're going to go do it. I come to you, I say, Gabi, I'm a Navi. Don't do it. You see, Rabbi, get lost. If God felt it was important enough to tell me to do something, if he doesn't want me to do it, you know what? He would tell me himself, right? That's what our religion is based on. God gave us the Torah. Other religions say, God changed his mind. Yeah, so we say to them, if God changed his mind, don't you think he would have been nice enough to tell us about that, right? So Avraham was told by God, take your son. So now a Malach comes and says, Hashem doesn't want you to do it. Avraham should have said, look, until I get word from the commander-in-chief, so I don't listen to the, you know, lieutenant.
It seems to me that somebody held his hand. He didn't stop because somebody told him to stop. No.
Someone held his hand?
Abraham Avinu, no.
I don't know that. The what?
The Malach pulled the hand back.
That's a kindergarten story.
I don't know that. No, I don't know.
All the pictures have that.
No, I don't. I'm not. No, maybe. I don't know. I'm not aware of that. Okay. Says the Malbim, if you thought the Nisayon of the Akedah was Hashem tells Avraham, take Yitzchak up, and Avraham does that, that's not what it was. That was step one. That's child's play. Child's play is Hashem tells Avraham to take up Yitzchak. He takes up Yitzchak. But then what happens is the Malach comes and says, don't do it. So Avraham says, don't do it. Look, you know what? You're a nice guy, Mr. Malach. I could trust you. But on the other hand, God told me to do it. So I'm going to wait right here. And I'm going to wait for Hashem himself to tell me what to do. As he's saying those words, you know what Avraham sees? A ram. He says to himself, where did this ram come from? Obviously, God is telling me, I don't have to take Yitzchak. God is saying, I accept a ram. So what does Avraham do? The word tachas doesn't mean instead of in Tanakh. It means underneath. V'hishanu tachas ha'etz. Mi tachas ha'shamayim. It doesn't mean instead of the heavens. It doesn't mean instead of the tree. It means under the tree. Yitzchak's on top. The ram's on the bottom. Avraham says, what Hashem is telling me is, I don't have to do Yitzchak. I'll accept the ram. Says Avraham, that's very nice, Hashem will accept the ram. But since Hashem has not told me, I don't have to do Yitzchak, I will pass the greatest test ever. That even though God has told me he accepts a ram, I'm still going to shecht Yitzchak. In other words, even though God is saying, I'll accept the ram as a substitute, Avraham says, but if Hashem told me to do it, that means the best thing would be still to shecht Yitzchak. But Avraham didn't know what to do. So you know what he said? I'm going to wait. Hashem yireh. Hashem will show me. In other words, Abraham, even after Hashem showed him the ram, what would we have done? Okay, a ram, great. We'll do the ram. You know, if you accept the ram, fine. Let's, you know, anybody else, he would have quickly shechted the ram. If Hashem's going to accept the ram, of course. Abraham said no. Maybe in the eyes of Hashem, Yitzhak would still be better. Says the Malbim, you know what that's like? Imagine if the king goes to someone's house in the winter, it's freezing outside, or, you know, in the shul when the heat is broken, and the king says, I need some heat. So the guy says, look, I have no money, but I have some firewood. And the guy takes his firewood and he burns it for the king. Fine, very nice, he's good to the king. Then the king goes to another friend. And this guy is rich, and the king is cold. And he's thinking, I really should burn some firewood for the king. He says, no, I'll do even better. I'll take my expensive couch, and I'll burn it for the king. And I'll show the king that even though I have wood, I want to serve the king with the best thing. That's what Avraham Avinu did. Even after Hashem showed him the ram, and Avraham brought it, tachas benoi, still Avraham said, I'm going to still go with Yitzchak. Says the Pasuk, Vayikra Malach Hashem al Avram Shenis Min Hashemayim. The Malach calls that a second time. Look in the pasuk. Vayomer, and he said, first I want you to know, Bi Nishbati Ne'um Hashem. You know what those words mean? Nishbati, I swear. Bi Ne'um Hashem. This time it's not me talking, it's Hashem himself talking. That's what it means. Nishbati, I swear. Bi Ne'um Hashem. Avraham said, look, if Hashem told me to do it, then I need to hear word directly from God. I'm not going to listen to a malach. So the malach comes and says, Nishbati, I swear, I'm not just a messenger relaying information. The word of God is in me. This is God speaking. And then look carefully at the psukim. Yan asher osisas hadavar hazeh, because you did this. What's the this? Different than the first time. The first time, Hashem, Avraham was just willing to bring up Yitzchak. But now Hashem says, now that you're willing to do this, you know what this is? That you're willing to bring up Yitzchak, even though I was willing to accept a substitute. Then, kivarecha varechacha, now I will bless you. What does that mean? I will bless you? Because we learned that had it not been for the Akedah, then the old Yitzchak would have still been there. And the old Yitzchak was constantly under the duress and the attack of the forces of the world. So what happened? Hashem said, but now that you did the Akedah, and Parcha Neshmasai, his soul departed, and this is a new Yitzchak, now he's not subject to all this. And God says, Ki varecha varechacha, I will bless you. Says the Malbim, you know what it means? V'kachal asher osfas hayom, you'll be like the sand on the sea. The same way I have a treaty with the sand, that the water tries coming crashing down on the sand. But we made a deal at the Mabel. Samti lachol gvul ayam. Won't cross. The world will not be flooded.
This stops there.
Thank you. The dirt will always be there. That's the brach I give to Klal Yisrael now. Now that you are zocha to do this nesayon, and we have a new Yitzchak and a new continuity of Klal Yisrael, now you'll be kachol asfasayam, no one could destroy you. Now you'll last forever. By the way, that's what we say in davening. We say in Alekai Netzar, V'navshi ka'afar la'kol tia, our soul should be like dust. What does that mean, our soul should be like dust? Taisa says, just like dust will never be destroyed. The world, right? It's always hit around. V'navshi ka'afar la'kol, we're asking Ibn Hashem to preserve Klal Yisrael for all eternity.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.